Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the CX Goalkeeper podcast. Your host, Greg, will have smart discussions with friends, experts, and thought leaders on customer experience, transformation, and leadership. Please follow this podcast on your preferred platform. I am sure you will enjoy the next episode with the guest I selected for you. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this episode of the CX Goalkeeper podcast together with Joseph Michelli. Hi, Joseph. How are you?
I am absolutely wonderful. Thanks for taking the time with me today.
I say thank you from my side, but also from the audience, because we have a worldwide renowned author and you are doing a lot of stuff. You will introduce that. And I'm super keen to jump through your books because it's so difficult to decide about which book I would like to discuss, because they are all interesting, but I cannot invite you 10 times on my podcast. And therefore, we jump through all your books and your history. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
To kick off the discussion, let's introduce today's top players. Joseph, could you please introduce yourself?
Sure. I am a customer experience professional. I'm a lucky guy who was taught by his parents that were placed on this earth to serve one another. And the only way you create, you know, the only way you get anything in life is to give first. And that lesson stuck with me. And I've really created a career where I help others serve well. It's very simple.
And you are also very well prepared, because you're already answering the next question, because you said giving is one of your values. Which values drive you in life?
Yeah, you know, so when I say about serving, our mission is to serve those who are committed to serving well. So, you know, we have a lot of people who contact us and say, we'd like to have service be this year's theme. And I think, well, this is not a theme. This is a way of living. So we tend to pass on those. But our values, which I post on my website, it's like on the front page of my website, is personalization. Everything I believe in business is personal. This podcast is personal to you. You want it to be a success. It's personal to the listener. I'm grateful. Gratefulness is a value of ours, and it really is important for us to appreciate every single opportunity I get to spend time with someone like you and every chance I get to have a connection with someone else. Humility is one. I think I've been around people who have a real sense of their importance, and they're not very approachable. So humility is important to me. And then optimism, I tend to believe it's easy to take the negative view. It's much harder to generate optimism. And the final one is one I made up. So it's called otherness. It's kind of the alternative to selfishness, that we really need to live our lives focused on making lives of others better, and in so doing, our lives become better.
Thank you very much for these values that we can also see also in your different books. But really, if you are on this podcast, let's kick off the discussion and go through your book so that the audience then can pick the most important things and then for sure buy your books and read them in their completeness. Because what I really love from these books are the content, the stories that you are sharing. Now we are really touching some of them. And I kick off with one book, The Zappos Experience. I think on your side, Zappos is very well known. On our side in Europe, it's not here, and therefore not everybody knows what Zappos, but I'm sure you will explain that. Which of the five principles to inspire, engage, and wow presented in your book, The Zappos Experience, do you find the most effective in building a strong company culture?
Well, knowing that it probably wasn't going to be well known, I thought I'd at least have this particular book handy. The rest are just kind of behind me. But Zappos, maybe the more familiar name would be Amazon. Amazon purchased Zappos because they wanted to take this culture and infuse it throughout their organization. So clearly, Zappos is a fulfillment, online fulfillment product provider. They predominantly focus on shoes. Their name comes from the Spanish name for zapatos, or shoes. The key principle in this book, there are, you know, most of my books have like five or so principles. The one that I think is most unique here is play to win. And the notion here is that this is a culture that's very playful. They encourage naps. I start the book by saying, I saw Winnie the Pooh walking through the parking lot. Of course, I work at Zappos. Meaning, of course, someone was wearing their Winnie the Pooh costume to work that day. This is a place where they set goals and leaders come dressed in all kinds of embarrassing gear just because the team worked so hard to achieve a goal. Everything about the play is with the spirit of realizing you're not playing for play's sake. You're playing to produce something, to achieve a goal. So rather than work and the opposite being play, they're finding a way to make play improve work.
And thank you for sharing this example, because Play to Win is also thinking about my background, speaking about soccer. A team is there to win the game because they want to do something exceptional to win the game and to make something for the guests, for people there, for the fans. And therefore, it's really extremely important. I think
the players who do the best are ones who actually have fun while they're doing their job of playing the game.
Exactly, because then they can give their best. And basically what I really like is also the idea of having one common goal. They want, and we know Zappos is a service company, they want to wow their customers. There are incredible stories. And this is something that I really think it's extremely important. They have focused on exceptional customer service. They don't need to reduce cost, improve sell, and wow customer, but they are focused on one common goals, and they can keep track of all other KPIs. And I think this is key.
You should have written the book. Well said.
No, and thank you. I try to learn from the best. That's also an important thing. Going to the second topic, the Airbnb way, can you share insights on providing exceptional customer experience and customer service in shared economy?
This was a tricky book. Thanks for calling this book out, because literally Airbnb is not delivering the service other than the technology platform that enables buyers and sellers to find themselves there in the ether. But in many ways, they're trying to get the hosts who are on their platform to deliver great experiences so more people will come to the platform looking for not just properties, but really great travel experiences. So Airbnb has invested a lot in trying to get hosts to appreciate that this is not a transaction. This is an opportunity to create belonging, which is what the image on the front of the logo of Airbnb is. It's called the Balo. You should be able to draw it with your toe in the sand. It looks like a paperclip of sorts. And its design itself is to say it's approachable. Everyone should be able to approach and create the Airbnb experience. And ultimately, it is a challenge trying to get providers who you don't control, who don't have a formal relationship with you, to deliver great service to the people who are buying on the platform. But they do a lot of that through AI. And if you provide a terrible experience to me as a guest in one of your properties, and that review shows up, enough of that creates a very difficult time for your property to be seen with the AI. So they try to use their technology to kind of be a police officer, a referee in the game of Airbnb. But it truly is an effort to at least communicate to those who are listing properties that there is a responsibility to host guests, not just provide a place to sleep.
Perhaps you are touching the topic technology, and I think nowadays everybody is speaking about artificial intelligence, also thinking about soccer. Referees now have also and support from technology. In Europe, it's not yet very well seen. There is a lot of discussion how this technology is deciding. I think with AI, they could improve that, because then it's not a referee taking the wrong decision, but it's the technology, and perhaps they don't have feelings for specific players or for specific teams. What's your view on the technology on this side?
Well, I'll tell you, superstars in the U.S. and in our form of football, the other kind, not the real football, right? You know, those stars, if you're a football quarterback, penalties are called for touching you, right? If you're a star. And I think there is the inevitable inherent biases that we as humans have. At the same time, technologies can have biases built into them in the programming too. So we have to be a little careful about that. For me, the bottom line is technology should aid human-powered service delivery. So humans are still relevant in the equation. Sometimes we want to opt out of the human and go for the technology. Other times we want to opt into the human. The big challenge is a lot of businesses have now made it almost impossible for you to reach out to an actual human. So the technology is in the front, and then there's no human behind it. And so the goal is to figure out how and what touch points do you need to have people positioned so that it's not just a technology journey without an off-ramp to someone who can help you if you want that.
Thank you. And I think this is really important, to balance technology and human. And I know we are running through your different books. We already scored 2 goals with the first 2 books. Now we are going to the third, to the third one, the Starbucks experience. And which of the 5 principles that you shared also in this book for turning ordinary into extraordinary, detail in your book, which one do you believe is the most relevant for business to differentiate themselves?
I really think surprise and delight is it. Now, before I say that, you have to deliver solid, consistent, everyday, mundane service. You have to meet people's needs. If you don't do that, don't listen to anything else I'm about to say. But assuming you are operationally satisfying, then we need to focus on delighting and surprising guests. And the key here is sprinkling in things that people don't expect. Once you do it over and over again and people come to expect it, now that becomes a new service standard. So the challenge is figuring out, how do I do something that you're not expecting that causes you to go, wow? And that wow, or that surprise element, is emotional. That emotionality causes it to be memorable. And it also provokes you to want to tell that story into your social media and into your regular life network. So clearly, I think the differentiator is, once you know how to execute with operational consistency and satisfaction, the opportunity is to find ways to sprinkle in occasional elements of delight that customers can't see coming, but that they can't stop talking about.
I think, in preparation for this discussion, I watched a lot of videos where you were discussing, and I think there, when you speak about this Starbucks experience, you said you spoke with one of the CEOs there or one of the top management, and you said it's really an interesting point in time to be in the coffee business. And they provided you a specific answer. Could you please share about that?
Yeah, well, Howard Schultz was, you know, the, for all practical intents and purposes, the leader of this brand from its inception and until very recent past. And he said that he's not in the coffee business serving people. He's in the people business serving coffee. And that was really kind of striking to me. I think most of us need to realize we're in the people business. We have a product, we have a service, we have a platform. But in the end, there is nothing without people. Put slightly differently, Peter Drucker once said, we're all in business to create a customer, not in business to create a profit. It's through customers that profits come. So our focus should be on, how do I create the next customer? What do I do to bring them in? What experience with this customer will cause them to go shout our name in the marketplace to all of their friends and family, so that we get some of them coming in through that referral route?
Thank you. Now, perhaps also coming on my side of the world to Europe, a very European brand, Mercedes-Benz. And you wrote about this topic, driven to delight. What aspects of Mercedes-Benz approach foster such high customer loyalty and passions level? Because the feeling is more about perfection, about process quality, and so on. But they did something.
Hallelujah. I think that's all of it. They had such great design engineers and precision quality focus. The problem they had was they didn't apply the same engineering principles to human factors. So what you were seeing was machines that were, you know, to the quality spec. But when it came to the way humans were treated, they didn't design that experience in the same way they designed the quality into the machine. So literally, the reworking was to say, let's treat experiences using the same design principles that we use to create product quality there. Now, granted, there's a huge difference, right? Like when I get raw material into a Mercedes-Benz factory, Daimler gets that raw material, they put it in the factory, they have the same consistent processes, they come out with a finished product that's 0.001 defects. When I'm dealing with people, they come in with raw material that is so different that what we have to do is still apply processes, but we also have to have some human social intelligence to nuance how we adjust those processes based on the person in front of me, knowing what the outcome is that we want to have in the end. If I know what the outcome is, and in the case of the book Driven to Delight, we wanted customers to say they were delighted with their service experience, with their sales experience. And once we understood that, then we reverse engineered what were the basic processes that would increase the probability they'd leave delighted, and then what were some of the nuanced ways we could adjust for various types of customers with different need states. Way too long of an answer, but the point is, they already had the DNA of of design. They just needed to apply it in a human experience design place.
It was not a too long answer because I want to double click on this topic. Again, I am half Swiss, half Italian, now speak my Swiss side and thinking we are similar to the Germans and they are very precise. They follow the process and so on. How was possible from a cultural point of view to change this mindset to product perfection or having the perfect product to really dealing with emotion of these people and so on?
Well, you know, I like Lake Como, kind of the best of Switzerland and the best of Italy, right? I think much of this is trying to acknowledge that you have to have both. This is not an either or. There is precision in the creation of these things. But when you're dealing with people, you have to allow for the lack of specificity. I think it was Aristotle who said that you can't ask for more specificity than the subject matter will allow. And I think when you're dealing with people, there's only so much that you can do. And in a, for example, a script, I could script service for you all day, but if you're not amenable and you're in a really negative mood, my happy script is going to get you nowhere and me nowhere. And I'm going to need to read your invisible sign that says, I'm not happy today. And I'm going to have to adjust my script. I still have the same goal. I want you to leave delighted. I just can't anchor myself to the rigidity and precision that I would like to have. But for all other matters where precision is necessary, hallelujah, may the Swiss prevail. As an Italian, I would say that.
That's true. Which car are you driving? No, joke aside, I'm not asking.
I am driving a Mercedes. I also have a BMW, if that helps, but let's not mention that to the people I work with.
That's true. Now we are coming from the precision of Mercedes to something that everybody's speaking about in customer experience. It's the new gold standards. How can leaders in the different industry apply Ritz-Carlton leadership principle to cultivate a culture of excellence and always continuously enhancing people's satisfaction?
See, and I think this is a lovely, conjunction to what we just talked about. You know, the Ritz-Carlton really is very precise. They have very precise quality standards, but they also have been born in the hospitality sector. So, you know, Horst Schulze, the founder of it, was born in Germany, the modern day Ritz-Carlton. He was born in Germany and he trained as an artisan hotelier. And that art blended with the precision execution. And so the Ritz-Carlton for me is all about kind of defining and refining service excellence and constantly be on a pursuit, waking up every morning going, I can be a better service provider than I was yesterday. I'm going to put my whole heart into it. I'm going to listen more intently. I'm going to anticipate your needs better. I'm going to make sure you don't leave without a fond farewell and a call to sequel. I'm going to do better today. And it's that constant pursuit for, in Horst's words, perfection, when I think the best we can ever achieve is excellence. But he always says, if you aspire for excellence, you'll accept mediocrity. If you aspire to perfection, you'll accept excellence. So I'll defer to him on that. But my point being, it is their obsession with being better and really an ideal of what hospitality can look like and pursuing it fervently.
Thank you very much. And now we are coming to your latest book. And for sure, when we will publish this episode, it will be out there and everybody can buy that. Now, today is the 19th of March. The book is Customer Magic. Can you share some insights from this book that it's coming up?
Well, off on your side of the pond, if you didn't know this company, you're going to even be more challenged for a moment with Macquarie Technology Group, right? They are based in Australia. And I had the good fortune of working with them in Australia for a couple of years. To be quite frank, they had read the Ritz-Carlton book. They called me up. They said, we're a telecom and we care about customer service. I thought it was a prank phone call, right? What telecom cares about customers? Not one I've ever met. And so it took a while for me to really believe in what they were saying. Then I watched them and involved myself in the way they were designing their experiences. And quite frankly, this is a company that understood how easy it was because the bar was so low to provide service in a market that was underserved and overcharged. And it was such a differentiator that even though they were undercapitalized, even though they were going against the Goliath, a government-owned legacy telecom, they were able to withstand all of those headwinds because they were so differentiated. And business people like me, who have medium-sized businesses, were saying, these people are showing us transparency in their bill. I've never been able to understand my bill from my legacy provider. I'm willing to take a chance on them. And then they had such great human experiences that they told other business owners, and the company has just flourished beyond telecom into cloud, into cybersecurity, and into government systems. So it's such a great story for all of us underdogs in the world who want to show that if we do something different and well, we can beat those who've been doing the tired, boring thing for so long.
Thank you. And now it's the right point in time to post this podcast. Go to your preferred bookshop, let's say Amazon, and buy one or more books from Joseph. Joseph, thank you very much for your time. But I still have three questions in the extra time and the last 3 minutes of this game. In 10 years from now, we are back on the CX Goalkeeper podcast. What we're discussing about?
Well, I think we're going to be talking about the fact that we have no need for people to provide service because everything is done through technology. I hope I'm wrong, but I think we're getting to a point where we're undervaluing service professionalism in the world. And so we may get to a point where that just gets inched out and every boy and girl does not want to provide service because they think it means they're servants or practicing servitude. So we may very well be with the only way to get things done is to interface through a technology platform.
It means I will discuss with your avatars. I hope the discussion will be as engaging as this one. And what's the best way to contact you?
I'm mercilessly everywhere on the internet, just with my name. So in the show notes, if you have Joseph Michelli spelled correctly, you can search that. You'll find my LinkedIn name is @JosephMichelli. Twitter, I'm sure, is the same, pretty much the same on TikTok. And wherever you go, you'll find me. But my website is josephmichelli.com.
Thank you very much. And to the audience, you will find all this information also in the show notes. Now we are coming to the last question. Is Joseph Golden Nugget? It's something that we discussed or something new to leave to the audience.
I think service serves us. The bottom line is that when we focus on serving others, we are served. When we focus on being served, it's kind of like going to a resource meeting where everybody's handing out their business cards and nobody's listening to anyone else. It's just a bunch of card exchanges that are going to go nowhere. Once you create value for another human being, they value you. It's much more important to be interested than being interesting.
The only thing that I can say is, Joseph, thank you very much for your time. Please stay with me. To the audience, it's everything for today's. I hope that you enjoyed this discussion and you appreciate Joseph joining this podcast because he's really one of the big names in our field. And therefore, take care, give us feedback, and please buy Joseph's latest book. Thank you very much, and bye-bye. If you enjoyed this episode, please share the word of mouth. Subscribe it, share it. Until the next episode, please don't forget, we are not in a B2B or B2C business. We are in a human-to-human environment. Thank you.